in an initiation ceremony in which two candidates are getting initiated into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and one candidate is getting initiated into the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni explains to the Prachetas as follows. Kim jamabes devir veha shokra savita yagike kamavir vatrahi prokte unsavvi vipudayusha. The translation is as follows. A civilized human being has three kinds of birth. The first birth is by a pure father and mother, and this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the spiritual master, and this birth is called Savitra. The third birth, called Yagika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for attaining such births, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, they are useless, they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. So this is a very famous verse of the Bhagavatam in which Narada Muni explains that a civilized human being has how many births?
Three.
The first birth is called Shokra Janma. Take 1842. Shokra Janma. Shokra in Sanskrit means semen. And Shokra Janma means birth as a result of seminal discharge. This birth is common both to human beings and to animals. The second birth is realized when one gets initiated into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this birth is called Savitra Janma. And because this is the second birth, at the time of initiation, one gets a spiritual name connected to the Lord and His devotees. The third birth is realized when one gets initiated into the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra, and this is called Yagika Janma. And as a result of this third birth, one becomes eligible to go on the altar, worship the deities, etc. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, this chanting of the holy name is beneficial regardless of how you chant. But if you want to make spiritual advancement, if you want to get maximum benefit from the chanting, then our endeavor should be to chant and avoid the offenses. Bahu janma kari yadi shravana kirtana sabutana paya krishna pade prema dhana. Krishna Kaviraj says, one may go on chanting the holy names of the Lord, birth after birth, but unless one also avoids the offenses, you will not be able to develop love of God. And we come to this Krishna conscious movement for the purpose of developing love of God. That is our ultimate goal, to develop Krishna prema. And Krishna prema can be developed if we chant the holy names without offenses. So there are 10 offenses that we should avoid. These 10 offenses have been enumerated by the great acharyas, and if we conscientiously try, these offenses can be avoided. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. This offense is also called Vaishnava Apradha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains Sanatana Goswami, that just like a beautiful garden can get spoiled if a mad elephant is allowed to come in, similarly, the gains of chanting the holy name get ruined by committing Vaishnava Prad. So Vaishnava Prad should be avoided, but this doesn't mean that if you have some constructive suggestion to make, if you see some discrepancy, you should not point it out under the fear, oh, this will be Vaishnava Prad. Vaishnava Prad is offenses, envy, offenses we commit, instigated by envy, jealousy, etc. And when, like if somebody thinks, oh, this devotee is getting so much honor, so let me set some rumors against him. Then that's different. So the Vaishnava Prad should be avoided. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a nice example. Sati Mata is the mother of the Supreme Lord. But Lord Chaitanya was not happy that this mother has had some grievances against Advaita Acharya. What was her grievance? Her older son left home and she thought that Advaita Acharya has also influenced my younger son to take sannyas. So devotees would often tell Mahaprabhu, you are merciful upon everyone, why not merciful upon your mother? And the Lord would say, my mother has offended. But then when the Lord saw that when Advaita Acharya was offering obeisances and Sati Mata went and took the dust from his feet, he was relieved, he was happy. So the Lord was giving us an example that it doesn't matter even if you are an exalted devotee, one should avoid Vaishnava Prad. The next is to consider the names of demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy names of Lord Vishnu. Then the scriptures establish there is one Supreme Lord who is the cause of all causes and the source of everything material and spiritual. We just heard the recitation of the Brahma Samhita in which Lord Brahma clearly establishes Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, and Adi Govinda, Sarva Karna Karna. There are many controllers, Ishvara means controller, but there is only one supreme controller. We are brought up in the environment where we have led to believe all gods are one. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, you hear, oh, Krishna is supreme and the others are subordinate. So we must have full faith that Krishna is the supreme. And just like when you pour water on the root of the tree, all the branches get nourished. If we sincerely serve Krishna, the Supreme Lord, all our obligations towards the different demigods are also being executed. This firm belief must be there. So we should not think that the demigods are equal to the Lord or independent of the Lord. But what are they? Subordinate to the Lord. In the 10th canto you read how Brahma, Shiva, Indra, the predominating demigods, they accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. The third is to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master or to consider him to be an ordinary person. The scriptures recommend that if you want to make spiritual advancement, one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this point explained as follows. First step, accept shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Second, serve him. Third, get initiated. Fourth, inquire, what do I have to give up? What do I have to adjust so that I can make spiritual advancement? And then, whatever has to be done, do it. But be determined to pursue spiritual program. So the business of the spiritual master is to guide the disciple on the path of perfection. And this guidance is to be given on the basis of knowledge explained by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada in his lectures, writings, books, etc. So one must have a complete faith that the instruction I'm getting through the spiritual master, and this instruction must be consistent with the instruction of the previous acharyas, is for my upliftment. So to think that to disobey the instruction of the spiritual master or consider him an ordinary person. The spiritual master is no magician. The spiritual master is simply a spiritual postman who brings to you the message that is coming down through the parampara. And in our ISKCON society is very unique. In most organizations, you see one guru who is a mahant and the leader of everything. But in our society, which is spread to every corner of the globe, we have a governing body commission that oversees the running of the society. And we have several senior Vaishnavas playing the role of spiritual master. Several senior Vaishnavas who may not be initiating, but are guiding devotees, acting as the Siksha Gurus. So they should all be respected. The one who gives you Siksha, the one who helps you progress on the spiritual path, he also should be respected. It's not that you give all your respect only to the initiating Guru and you're disrespectful to the others. Now the desire of the spiritual master is to see the disciple make spiritual advancement. And the proof of spiritual advancement is we're getting attached to the holy name, we're getting attached to the philosophy, we're getting attached to associate with devotees, we're getting attached to the mood to serve, and we're cultivating the mood of humility. Pride has no place on the spiritual path. If one is proud or influenced by pride, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not pleased. Lord Chaitanya, in giving the six principles of Sharanagati, has listed humility as a sixth and important quality. So, one should have faith that these instructions are for my betterment. Lord Chaitanya, when he met the Mayavadi sannyasis, and they said, "You are such a prominent Sanskrit scholar. Why don't you sit down with us and study the Vedanta? What is this, like a madman you're chanting?" What did the Lord say? "Why, spiritual master, consider me to be a fool?" He said, "This is all you're capable of, chant Hare Krishna." So Lord Chaitanya revealed to us his humble position. So one should, with faith and reverence, carry out the instructions of the spiritual master, which are all meant for our spiritual betterment. So therefore, with faith, one should follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master's only desire is to see the disciple make spiritual advancement. Sometimes devotees think, "Oh, I've been a devotee for so long, I don't need guidance, I know what's best." Prabhupada used to say that there's a Bengali saying, it says, "A galloping horse cannot eat grass on the ground." So the point, if one thinks that, "Oh, I don't need any instructions, I know what it is," then that will be his position. He will be like a galloping horse, cannot eat grass off the ground. Then the next is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in persons of the Vedic version. The Vedic literature is eternal knowledge. To say that the Vedic literature has no relevance in today's society is a great offense. Vedic scriptures are also known as Sanatana Dharma. This is the eternal message for the benefit of entire humanity. So for us to say, oh, this Vedic literature is sectarian, it's only for people of one community, one country. No. This is for entire humanity. And therefore, with faith, we should accept the conclusion of the Vedic scriptures. And if we, with faith, accept the conclusion, then that will be perfection. So we should not at any point think the Vedic scriptures are outdated, they're not relevant to today's environment. They are as relevant today as they were 5,000 years ago. And we should also understand this is not mythology or imagination. Some Western scholars came to India, studied Sanskrit, started translating the Vedic text, and they started advertising. But this is all mythology. It's a myth. It's no such thing as real. A few years ago, there was a prominent politician in South India who said, what proof do we have that Ram and Krishna ever existed? So that is unfortunate. So we must have full faith. We should not blaspheme Vedic literature, and we should not think that the Vedic literature is limited by space and time. The next is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. The glories of chanting Hare Krishna is not an imagination. In this Kali Yuga, Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Vatara, all that you need is the holy name. And this is not an exaggeration. The holy name alone can deliver you from the cycle of birth and death. The Lord incarnates in His holy name, and the Lord has made it very easy for us to practice self-realization. So therefore, we should not think the glories of the Lord is an exaggeration. Publicly I'll chant 16 rounds, etc. Privately, I'll chant some other mantras for the demigods, etc. That should not be our mentality. If we have more time, we can chant more than 16 rounds. As I've often explained, Prabhupada wanted us initially to chant 64 rounds. When he saw that devotees couldn't do it, then he reduced it to 16. So Prabhupada was the founder acharya, is the founder acharya of this movement. Whatever standards he wanted to establish for the next 10,000 years, he has already done so. So our approach should be, we just follow that path and we don't make any adjustments. And that is perfection. Next is to give some interpretation to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There's no need to give any interpretation. His holy name is nothing but an appeal to the Lord. A cry to the Lord. What? Please may I be engaged in devotional service. So, it is very simple. That is our prayer. Please may I be engaged in devotional service. Next is to consider sins on the strength of chanting. Prabhupada is explained, Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada is explained, this is the more serious of all offenses. What does this really mean? I'm thinking now, I got initiated on the most auspicious Atlanta temple in the presence of Gauritai, Radha Madan Mohan, Jagannath Subhadra Balaram. The deities are watching us, huh? Don't think there's. Maybe we can keep the door a little open. So, the deities are watching. So I got initiated in the presence of the deities. So now, even if, and I'm chanting 16 hours every day, so even if I commit some sins, even if I commit some offenses, Krishna is going to definitely pardon me. No. We should not commit intentionally wrong acts. We should not commit sins on the strength of chanting. If accidentally we commit a mistake, or we commit an offense, Krishna will rectify. But we should not think, now I'm Brahmin initiated, now even if I criticize that person, do this to that person, Krishna is going to protect me. That's wrong. The devotee's mentality is, now no more sinning. Prabhupada was once initiating a devotee who had a very heavy background. And Prabhupada, when he was handing him his beads, he said, now no more sinning. So that should be our mentality. No more sinning. We are taking initiation means taking responsibility to chant minimum 16 rounds a day, follow four regular principles, no meat, fish and eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex life, no gambling. No one is a householder. One lives according to religious principles as explained in the scriptures. So by following these four regular principles in China, these four regular principles, when you follow them, they become the pillars of spiritual success. And when you don't follow them, they become the pillars of sinful life. So these rules and regulations are there for a purpose, and the purpose is to help us attain purity. So we should not commit sins on the strength of the chanting. Archimedes was in a very degraded position, and he was already attached to his youngest son, whose name was Narayana. And at the moment of death, when the Yamadutas were coming to take him to hell for punishment, Archimedes, when he saw those fearful looking individuals, he was desperate. And in deep emotion, he cried out for his youngest son, Narayan. And as he uttered the word Narayan, the agents of Lord Vishnu came and protected him. Now, Archimedes was saved because he was unconsciously chanting the holy names of the Lord all the time, because he was addressing his son and calling him Narayan. Come here, Narayan, do this, do that, 1,000 times a day. But Archimedes was not chanting the names of Narayan with the intention of counteracting the sins that he was committing. So we should avoid committing sins on the strength of chanting. This chanting of Hare Krishna mantra should not be considered to be some auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as karma kanda. What is karma kanda? Business transaction with the Lord. My dear Lord, I'll give this offering, I'll give this much donation, but in exchange, I want this, I want this. So, this chanting of the holy name is not some type of, is not meant so that we do some type of transaction with the Lord. This chanting of the holy name is a prayer to the Lord. Please engage me in devotional service. Please engage me in devotional service. Next is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the Lord. On the one hand, we have the Lord saying, Jaya dako taya kaho. Whoever you see, please instruct him about Krishna. On the other hand, we see the Lord is saying, don't preach a message to the faithless. So how do you reconcile the two? So the answer is very simple. We can tell everyone to chant Hare Krishna, just like it doesn't matter in which part of the globe you're traveling. If you meet someone and he wants to know your name, you give him. You tell him, this is my name. But you don't tell him, this is my home phone number, this is my email, this is where I have a bank account. You may tell him that after he's developed some level of confidence and friendship in you. So we can tell everyone to chant Hare Krishna. We go on Harinam, we chant publicly, we go on Harinam, we invite everyone else to chant. But the deep meaning of the holy name may be revealed after one has developed an element of faith in the Holy Name. So the Holy Name can be chanted by everyone, and we can talk to everyone about the Holy Name. But the deep meaning may be explained after the person has developed some element of faith in the Holy Name. Then the next is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the Holy Name and to still maintain material attachments. When you come to Krishna consciousness, you begin to hear Maya, Maya, Maya. Isn't that right? In every lecture. Maya is bad, devotional service is good. Now then if you probe further, what does Maya mean? How does Maya manifest itself? Through what door does Maya come? Krishna says in the Gita, lust, anger and greed are three highways leading you to hell. But then Maya comes through different material attachments. I'm attached to this activity, I'm attached to this person, I'm attached to this body, I'm attached to movies, I'm attached to this. So then we understand, if you want to get attached to Krishna, then you have to minimize and eventually abandon your material attachment. But how to do that? To give up material attachment is not an easy task. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devesha Gunamaya Mama Maya Durataya. To overcome the illusory energy is very difficult. But then Krishna goes on to say, but if you surrender to me, then you can overcome this influence. So what does surrender to me mean? It means you follow Krishna's instructions, which are chant the holy name, read Bhagavatam Gita, associate with devotees, etc. So we have come to spiritual life. Coming to spiritual life means declaring war. You ready for that? Waging war against whom? Who? Maya, that's not bad. Waging war against Maya. Declaring war. Just like these countries, they declare war. So we declare war against Maya. And our weapon is chanting the holy name, studying the scriptures, associating with devotees, etc. But if we've come to spiritual life, I've got initiated, I got second initiation, but still I have the same attachments. I have to watch movies, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. Then that is a great offense. Then you're not going to get the gains of chanting the holy name. Then not going to get full benefit. Then this tenth offense has a second aspect to it, and that is to be inattentive while chanting. Chanting, as you've heard many times, is beneficial whether you chant with offenses or without. Doesn't matter how you chant, this chanting is beneficial. Prabhupada said, if a drunkard says, oh, the taste of this is liquor is Krishna, he also benefits. The holy name is so powerful. When you go on Harinam, and someone comes and says, look at these crazy Hare Krishna, they're making a life hell. They benefit. At least they uttered Hare Krishna. But if you want to make spiritual advancement, then we have to go to a higher standard. So we should, how do we chant the holy name? We should chant attentively. What does this mean? Many times devotees say, oh, I can't. My mind keeps wandering when I chant. So attentive chanting eventually means that you chant with full concentration. But to begin with, attentive chanting could mean at least when you sit down to chant your rounds, just chant and don't do any other activity at the same time. If your mind is wandering, don't worry. But make sure that you're only doing one activity, and that is chanting. When you sit down to eat your lunch or dinner or breakfast, do you like if you're eating and doing 20 things at the same time? You're eating and somebody's phoning you, and at the same time, somebody wants to talk to you, then what do you say? we say usually, let me eat in peace, isn't it? Come back later. You phone people, they'll tell you, sir is eating, come call later, isn't it? But nobody likes to be disturbed while eating. So similarly, our philosophy should be, when I'm sitting down to chant my 16 rounds, I just want to chant and I don't want to indulge in any other activity. It's not that I'm chanting, answering cell phones, reading the papers, doing this, doing that, doing 10 jobs at the same time. Chanting is an incarnation of Godhead. So when you chant the holy names, you're associating with Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should try to chant attentively. That is, when you sit down to do your japa, just do this one activity, and you will find if a japa is good quality, it will help you to eliminate maya. So, there are 10 offenses. In addition, devotees who are serious about spiritual advancement should also regularly read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada, as you know, labored hard to translate these books. And Prabhupada wanted these books to be read and distributed. So we should also make it a point to read these books. These books contain transcendental wisdom. And by reading these books, we can make our indulgence sharper. So, plus, those of you who live at home should have sadhana bhakti. Just like in our temple, they have a certain schedule, mangalarti, etc. So, why is the schedule there? So that by following the spiritual discipline, it helps us to make spiritual progress. It helps us to control the turbulent mind, etc. So similarly, if we chant the holy names attentively, then that will help us to cleanse the heart. Sometimes devotees say, I'm chanting for so long, but my material attachments are still there. What's the cause? There are two causes. One is, we're still committing Vaishnava prana, and two is, we're not chanting attentively. So attentive chanting is very important. Not that you're driving to work and you're chanting at the same time. Of course we should chant all the time. But your rounds that you are counting towards your quota, that should be chanted attentively. And if you chant, avoiding offenses, that will help us to make spiritual advancement. Then we also have a candidate taking initiation into chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. This Gayatri Mantra is normally awarded after one has passed Bhakti Shastra exam, if one is educated, and one has chanted the holy names for a period of time, and at the same time one has displayed proper understanding of the philosophy, and at the same time one has proper Vaishnava etiquette. And in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the qualities of a Brahmana. One becomes a Brahmin not on the basis of birth, but on the basis of guna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first great acharya who established that one becomes a Brahmana on the basis of karma and not birth. There are people in India who hold the view, Brahmins by birth, some people said. Bhaktivedanta Swami has spoiled our culture. He made many children into Brahmanas. One becomes a Brahmana on the basis of guna. Chaturvarna Maya Shishnam, guna karma vibhagasa. So one who is initiated into Brahmanicum, or taking initiation, or desirous of getting initiated, must have proper understanding of the philosophy. And in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Krishna explains the qualities of a Brahmana. In this very famous verse, Krishna says, Samo Dhamo Tapasa Socham Shadhi Raja Mevacha Jnana Vijnana Vastikam Brahma Karma. A devotee of Brahman must be peaceful. Not that you are always agitated. And how can you be peaceful if you're single-pointed in your meditation? If you're single-pointed in pleasing Krishna, then your mind will always be peaceful. Then dhamma, self-control. What is the difference between human life and animal life? In human life, you have the opportunity to exercise self-control. So, Brahma must also have control over our mind and senses. Tapo means austerity. Austerity is the wealth of a brahmana. Just like in the material condition, people decorate themselves with ornaments and jewelry. So a devotee decorates himself with what? Transcendental qualities. And one of the characteristics of a devotee is that he practices austerity. Especially if you're a brahmana, you must practice austerity. Mm. Austerity means we voluntarily accept some inconvenience for a higher purpose. The strength to practice austerity comes from the Supreme Lord. Then, purity. Prabhupada often said, purity is the
force.
So purity is the force. Not that I'm a Brahmin and I have still all my material desires, etc. Brahmin must mean that he has control over his mind and senses. Brahmin must mean that I'm seriously pursuing the path of self-realization. Then there must be tolerance. Brahmana should be tolerant. Lord Chaitanya has said, Trinadapi Suri Chena, Rorapi Saira, Amani Namanalena Kitagami. If you want to chant the holy names of the Lord all the time, then please cultivate the mood of humility. So, Brahmana must have transcendental knowledge and he must practice his philosophy. And then he'll be able to give up what is undesirable for spiritual advancement. So, Brahmanas must have guna. And on the basis of guna, one becomes a Brahmana. Once you become a Brahmana, you become eligible to cook for the deities, dress the deities, etc. Sometimes people say, what about dancing for the deities? Anybody can dance. You don't need a Brahmic degree to be eligible to dance. So the deities are happy when you serve them in any capacity. But a Brahmana who has received Brahmic initiation must also engage in deity worship. So, Brahman one becomes by guna. Krishna has made this very clear. It is important to know this because as you preach, you'll meet somebody who say, oh, I'm a Brahman. Okay. How can you be a Brahman? One becomes a Brahman on the basis of qualification. Today we see people who are born in vulnerable families are leading a degraded life. So they cannot be considered to be Brahmins. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was the first great acharya who publicly preached that one becomes a Brahmin on the basis of guna and not karma. Once Thakur Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited to give a lecture at a Brahmical organization in Calcutta. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji went because Bhakti Siddhanta wasn't feeling well. And Bhakti Siddhanta was a great scholar. He started his lecture by first praising the need for Brahmanas in society. After establishing the need for Brahmanas in society, he explained point by point, how one becomes a Brahman. And that is on the basis of guna. This they didn't like. So one becomes a Brahmana on the basis of guna. Prabhupada once asked if he could do anything, any magic. Prabhupada said, no, I can't do any magic. But one magic I've done. So the journalist was curious, what? I have converted thousands of Naitasya Brahmanas. Naitasya means one who indulges in sinful activities. And Brahmana means one who is engrossed in spiritual activities. So we should become genuine Brahmins, and genuine Brahmin must be exemplary for others. So we hope that the candidates who are accepting initiation today will take their responsibility very seriously. If we are serious about practicing Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will help us. Prabhupada often said, you take one step towards Krishna, and Krishna will take how many steps?
Yes.
Krishna wants to reclaim all of us. Therefore, he is guiding us again and again, what is good, what is bad. So we hope that the candidates taking initiation today will take their spiritual responsibility seriously, and they'll be determined to stay on the spiritual path and give this message to the others. Because society is suffering due to lack of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada used to say, Bhakti Siddhanta used to say, if at all that there's a shortage of anything on the planet, it is just this knowledge of love of God. So that's what we have to do. We have to preach the glories of the Lord so that people become aware and attracted to the message of Godhead. So we hope that the candidates participating in the yajna today will take their vows very seriously, and we hope that they'll be determined to pursue the spiritual path so that they can eventually achieve the goal of life, which is Krishna. You all, how many of you want to attain Krishna
friend?
So this is the path. Hear it attentively, Shravanam and Kirtana. Shravanam and Kirtana are most important activities. Whether you're a newcomer or old comer, you can't give it up. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yajna, dana and tapasya. These cannot be given up. Even the self-realized cannot give it up. So the point is that we should engage in service. If we sincerely endeavor, Krishna will help. And Krishna is sending us his representatives from time to time so that we can eventually go back to Godhead. So please take these vows seriously, and if you take them seriously, Krishna will help you to make spiritual advancement.